it's time for Lickin' on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. It's Monday, Memorial Day, May 25th, 2020. So good to have you here with us. As we say, this podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals. And we're so grateful to have you as our listener. Again, our commitment to you is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. I am so excited about today's hot topic. We've got Alec Hansen in the house. He'll be joining us. He's Senior Vice President of Loan Production for the Pacific Southwest Division of Loan Depot, one of the leaders in our industry. We're going to be talking about engaging with our customers using video. I just watched one of the videos that Alex produced, and he says, we're now an internet-first engagement with consumers. It's happening, and we're going to be talking about how you can engage your customers through video. And I watched what he does. I watched some material that he's put out, and I invited him because I really believe he's nailing it. Not only that, he's got a new book out. We're going to talk about that on the Hot Topic segment. That's a must-read book. If you're anything to do with mortgage lending or real estate, you got to read this book. I want to say how grateful we are to be a part of the Industry Syndicate. Go out industrysyndicate.com. So pleased to be a part of it, as well as the Mortgage Media. So they're doing a great job putting out the word. We're thrilled to have a partnership with both of these entities. The Industry Syndicate, you got to go check it out. There's all these podcasters out there, mostly working on the origination side of the business. They're doing a fabulous job. And, of course, Mortgage Media is doing a great job of getting out really kind of some leadership messages of what's going on in the industry. So be sure to check them out. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America. Again, we had Bill Kilmer and Pete Mills on from last month. Very informative interview about what the MBA is doing during this pandemic. And there's a lot more information coming. We need to get Mike Frattantoni on here again and Bob Brooksmith. Very excited to see what's happening there. Also, Finastra, whose Fusion Mortgage Bot solution automatically addresses the compliance issues that many of us are facing and also really helps with engaging our borrower very effectively. Also, Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative, both of these co-ops give advantages to both the lender and vendor members. So proud and pleased to be a part of both of these organizations. In fact, we got Justin DeMolia coming on next week of Lenders One. That'll be a good interview. We also have the community, Mortgage Lenders of America. Pleased to have our relationship with them, as well as Indicom. They do a great job of helping you, supporting your business with offshore services. You've got to check them out. There's a lot more than that. I could go on and on about Linda and the whole team there. I'm so pleased to have them as a sponsor, as well as Incelerate. Josh Friend, oh my gosh, what a vision he has for the way business should be done. Josh is in Southern California, same place where our guest is going to be today. Alec Hansen, they're all in the same area. Something about that water out there in Orange County. They just really come up with some innovative ideas of what to do. So check out Incelerate on our list of our advertisers, as well as Ainsworth Advisors. You know, it's working more and more getting companies approved with the agencies. The agencies are asking you, who's on your advisory board? Who's really giving you insights and intelligence about where the market's going, advising you on your business? Go check out AinsworthAdvisors.com. It's your corporate advisors, and that's what we have the potential to be. It's a great group of people with a lot of wisdom and a lot of experience. Also, AI Assist is an artificial intelligence tool for helping you connect with borrowers. I got to check out that company, AI Assist. Go to our advertiser page on our website, learn more about it. Very powerful tool. I mean, I got to tell you, if you're not using video and artificial intelligence, you're going to be just absolutely left on the dust of what's coming up. Going to get that vision. Anyway, Celebrity Home Loans, growing through acquisitions. Check out their website, as well as Knowledge Coop, helping you get your people trained and going in the right direction. Great LMS, or learning management system, as well as Mobility RE. Check out the March 16th podcast with Ben Terlink, Saw a picture of he and his wife on their anniversary. Congratulations on that, Ben. Appreciate it. As well as Modex. Check out last week's podcast with the Dales, Dale Jr. and Dale III. It's all about data and helping you and do a really amazing job in recruiting. It is really a good interview. Getting it, that one's downloaded a lot. As well as Velma, the virtual electronic marketing assistant, helping you get your word out. It's a pre-designed material. I got to get Velma hooked up with Alec. That's what I need to do. Also, VendorSurf. If you're looking for a new vendor in various areas, a great way to be looking for those vendors is on VendorSurf. As well as Vidyard, helping you get out your videos in a manner that is impactful and also creating a library of them. I love Vidyard. Yes, we all use YouTube. Vidyard's great. YouTube's great. But you got to check out Vidyard, what more it can do, the power it has. Also, special thank you to our regulars, Alice, Andy, Alan, and I want to say Joe Farr has been with us for a full 10 years that we've been doing this podcast. Joe called me. He retired from the industry, but he stayed on for 2 extra years just to stay on the podcast. And I love the fact that he was here, but he called me. He says, Dave, it's time for me to retire from the podcast. I've been doing it. I love it. Tell all the listeners I've enjoyed it, and he's going to miss talking to you all. We wish Joe the very, very best as he fully enters into retirement or whatever else. Retirement hasn't worked for me, so I don't suspect it'll work for Joe, but whatever he's doing next. So appreciate Joe Farr. We've got Matt Graham joining us next week on MBS Live. Folks, I've been starting to use this service. It is amazing. So we'll be excited to have next week Market Update with Matt Graham starting June 1st with us. Let's get over to Les Parker and get this week's TM Spotlight and this week's Macro View of the Markets. Les?
And the spread is like an apple, swirling silently in space, like the circles that you find in the windmills of Fed's mind.
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by PowerSeller, making hedging easy.
Like a circle in a spiral, the Fed is talking about targeting rates in the 2-year note. Why? Because it wants to control yield spreads. How does Jay, Don Quixote, Powell control the spread without fixing giant windmills? If all central banks try to control all fixed rate assets, what happens? Who wins when all the big governments and all the big central banks think they can monetize their respective debt by devaluing their currency? These questions matter to mortgage rates. Do you like the answers that you find in the windmills of Fed's mind? These views are my own. Go to tmspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
You know what? That is excellent. I love that. Les Parker, you are very creative. For such a kind of guy, Les Parker, you are so creative. And Gary Canterbone, you're bringing it together so well. So kudos to you guys. And then also want to say a correction. I said he used a song. Here was a recent one. I can't remember what the name of the song was even. Oh, You Are a Lion. He said, I told me he used that before. He hadn't. It's just that I'd seen it in something else recently. So anyway, original song every time. Music parody of what's going on with the markets. If you think that's good, go check out his newsletter. It is so good. This is more of a holiday podcast, so Alice is enjoying her time with her family, and Alan is too. Alan actually contacted me. He's going to try to join us, but he is in a bad cell area, so he is not joining us. But joining us is my good friend. I could go on and on about Andy Schell, but Dr. Andy Schell, the Prophet Doctor, good to have you here, friend.
Hi, Dave. It's so exciting to be on the show today.
Yeah, we got a little extra time, so I'm always excited. Andy and I had barbecue listeners on Saturday, and so we had a real good time of visiting. And it's one of the things about doing these segments where we really don't get the time, the draw and the depth and the knowledge and the wisdom of each one of our regulars that are here. So we got some extra time today, Andy Schell. So I want to start off by talking about Memorial Day. A lot of people get confused what Veterans Day is versus Memorial Day. Veterans Day honors the living, those that are out there serving us in an active basis. Memorial Day is doing what? We're honoring those that did die and gave their lives, gave the ultimate sacrifice. So looking at all the wonderful posts up there, my wife put one up that I was going to try to put one up. I had one I'm going to put out there. Probably put one up. It has to do with flying, Andy. You know what that is. That's a tribute to all the on that. But the one my wife did, I repost on Facebook, is just, it's really the heart-wrenching one. You see so many spouses and children and kids at the gravestone of their family member that gave the ultimate sacrifice. So, Andy Schell, Memorial Day, what's your thoughts and reflections, friend?
Well, I'm always reminded of Memorial Day, and it affects military service affects me pretty much every day of my life because of how it affected my dad. So my dad was a young man in 1944 when he signed up to join the Army Air Corps as a tail gunner. Thankfully
wow.
for me, the war came to an end shortly thereafter. And then while he was slated to be on the Japanese invasion troop, that never happened because of what people would consider as probably challenging things with the dropping of the first nuclear bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But that ended mm-hmm. the war, and my dad did not participate in the invasion of Japan. Had he, I likely would not be here today.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. but beyond that, my dad stayed in the Naval Reserves for a long time, and in 1968, when he was 44 years old, he had his architectural firm. He was committed to the military, went on military reserves, but he was had his own business. He was the lead partner of an architectural firm. His battalion got activated. We were living in Texas.
Really?
His battalion got activated, and he went to Vietnam for 9 months to build an airport in Da Nang. He was an architect, and he ran a construction battalion known as MCB, Mobile Construction Battalion. It's part of the
wow.
Navy, Civil Engineering Corps. So, but what that meant was that we moved. He went to Vietnam for a year, 9 months. While he was gone, his firm failed. And when he was released from the service, he didn't have any place to go. So he stayed in the Navy, and we went to Hawaii.
Yeah.
So if not for all of that, I would not have graduated from high school in Hawaii, would not have the perspective on diversity that I do because of my years living in Hawaii. So it's a good thing, and I wouldn't know any other way because that's how my life was. Memorial Day... Military service can have amazing impact on families, and it can have consequential impact on families. So the Memorial Day is for those who died, for sure. And I always think of it, too, in addition to those who died, the impact the military service has on families today. We've got our wounded warriors who are mm-hmm. struggling with how to climb the stairs with prosthetic legs.
Yeah, it's so true. When you look at the sacrifice made. We're so grateful to all the veterans that are alive and were still with us. We're eternally grateful to the families that suffered the ultimate sacrifices. Those words, and they seem almost too light because it's the pain that it's left. Your business partner, my former business partner, when we are the three of us together, is Chuck Klein, and he lost his dad in the Korean War. He was a pilot and was shot down. So we're up close and personal with people we know whose dad's family are not here with us. And so glad your dad did not get called to invade Japan and that you're here with us.
Well, your dad, too. Your dad's the same age.
Yeah.
I mean,
he served in Korea and talks about that. I mean, it's interesting how they don't talk much about it. And I think it's because of what they endured. There was some pretty tough stuff my dad saw in Korea. So it was tough. But
Well, a quick side note is a family member, a relative of mine, was at Iwo Jima. And my
oh, wow.
Marine at Iwo Jima. And so he's a contemporary of my dad. And I, as a young man growing up, being around this gentleman, he for a long time was incredibly harsh and dealt with alcoholism for a long time. He finally recovered, came past that, was just an amazing person. But he lived a trauma from that
yeah.
for 30, 40 years, untreated, too. He self-medicated, as many of that generation did before PTSD was explored. So there's just always the next story when we start talking about.
Oh, yeah. The consequences, the domino effect that it has had. We could go on and on again, but thank you so much
yep.
for that. You had some things.
Yeah,
go ahead. Finish your thought there, and I want to talk about some things that you had last week for us. I'm really interested to get into that. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to go there.
Oh, good. Go for it.
So on the Prophet Doctor today, Dr. Shell the Prophet. Dr. Shell the Prophet Doctor, that's my trademark slogan. It was very helpful talking, Dave, with you on Saturday. I was thinking more about the content. And so I was thinking about what is my passion? What is the core thing that drives me? And really, it's the Prophet Doctor's purpose is to help businesses have a healthy business. It's to help you have
right.
a healthy business. So that asks the question, do you want to have a healthy business? I'm passionate to provide a healthy business, but do you want to have a healthy business? And what does a healthy business look like? So a healthy business has at least four key components that I identified, and that is, knows where it's going and how to get there. So it's kind of 3 points. You know where you are, know where you're going, and know how to get there. Profitable and have employees who are capable and content with a leader who communicates and listens. So that's basically it. You know what you're going to do. You're profitable. Your employees are capable and content. Your leader communicates and listens. So a healthy business will have happy and effective employees. And employees that are happy and effective when, so it's not always happens, but employees are happy and effective when they know their job and they are able to do their job. It's almost that simple. As long as they know what to do and are able to do what they know to do, then they can be happy and content. People like to come to the workplace, do our job, do a good job, go home knowing that we did a good job. But here's the challenge. When a business or the environment, but when a business changes how an employee does their job, this can impact the employee very significantly because the employees now don't know how to do their job. And if they don't know how to do their job, then they're not able to do their job. So when you take an employee who's able to be effective and happy because they're content because they know how to do the job and are able to do their job, when you make a change such that they're not able to do either of those two things, they don't know how to do their job, they're not able to do their job, that creates stress, pain, discomfort. Employees become unhappy, they become ineffective, they even maybe become hostile, and all this happens because of a change. So there's lots of different changes that happen, but the most common disruptive impact, the most disruptive decision that creates these symptoms, and as the prophet doctor, that's part of what I like to do, is identify symptoms, diagnose the problem, create a prescription to lead to a healthy environment. So the thing that I see where these issues surface is changing the LOS. When you change the loan origination system, it disrupts the company. And so when you want to make a change to an LOS because people don't like the current one, or branches don't like the current one, or whatever the reasons are, there's thousands of reasons. The key question we have to think about, though, is how are we going to change? And it begins with, and this is sometimes not even considered, how do people learn?
Mm-hmm.
How do people learn is hugely impactful, hugely consequential, because when you make a change, how are people going to learn the new system? And the thing that I see that is misconsidered significantly is learning takes time. Learning takes time, and it takes repetition of new material. So as we do learning, as we do training, it takes discipline, commitment, persistence, and time. So that's a commitment that employees have to make. So getting the employees to agree to be disciplined with their commitment, to be persistent, to contribute the time, to learn the new system, is something that's important to be in front of before the change takes place. So you get people excited about the new system and understand that there will be a significant consequence and it will ultimately be better. It's like having a baby, not that I would know, but it's a period of discomfort to ultimately have a better outcome. But here's the LOS, the loan origination system, perfect storm that I see frequently, and that is the CEO wants to change fast. Get it done. I don't care how, just get it done. Making a change like that impacts the employees. Changing what employees know takes time. They have to go through a learning process. And besides that, even just making the new system work, you got to design it, got to look at how you do what you do, you got to configure it, you got to make it do what you want it to do, you got to test it, you got to train people, you got to implement it through a phased approach so everybody's affected in it. In my experience, a good plan will show that an LOS change will take 6 to 9 months minimum. I've seen CEOs say, that's too long. I don't care. Get it done 60 days, 90 days.
Yeah.
When you do that, you disrupt the business for 18 months. So when someone says to you, oh, yeah, we can get an LOS conversion done in 90 days, maybe the system can be built, but that doesn't consider people. We have to think about how does a change affect employees? Will employees be able to do their job? No, they have to learn the new system. How do employees learn? It takes discipline, commitment, persistence of time, repeated presentation of material. And unless you do those things, you're going to have a disrupted environment where people are unhappy. And you can have a significant degree of negative consequence. People will feel stressed, fatigued, all because they don't know how to do their job, because they don't know what button in the new system to push. So just if you step back and think about how to have an effective learning experience, don't think about it in terms of just the IT environment. You have to think about it in terms of the people, how it affects the people. Not everybody learns at the same pace. People learn in different ways. Some are visual, some are auditory. You have to provide training in a way and coaching throughout the entire process. It costs way more than you think. Takes way longer than you think. But if you don't do it this way, you're likely to have fatigue, unhappy employees, discontentment, and disruption in your workplace. Bad, bad, bad news. And I, as the profit doctor, want for everyone to have a healthy business.
That's what doctors are for. Be healthy. Yeah, that's good.
How often do you see people underestimate the impact on employees when a change is presented?
Oh, any change. Accounting systems, LOS, anything. The impact and the lack of forethought is just stunning to me, Andy. And what we encourage people to do, our listeners to do, is, you know, just call one of us. We're here available to help. We've got the Profit Doctor, got myself, we got a whole host of other people out there in the market that are here to help you have a healthy business. Folks, we thank you so much. I encourage you to get a hold of Andy Schell, who's CPA, CFF, CMB, and now PhD, Dr. Schell at mbs-team.com. We can have a whole discussion on this, Andy, and I want to, and I've got some thoughts around this and some of the things you were saying, so we need to have another conversation to really drive home this point. Thank you so much, and
it dovetails into what Alec is going to talk about, because it's about people receiving information in a way that they can process and ingest, accept, and adopt. If you don't do all those things, you won't have a successful implementation. So whether if it's IT or perspective or vision casting or even behavioral dynamics from just embracing ethics, all these things affect how people learn. So I'm excited to hear what Alex has to say.
You got to watch this video. I can't wait to read his book. I watched the video on this alechanson.com website, and it's exciting stuff. It's you know it. Your son, who's already in the mortgage business, well-trenched in it, has the right approach, is going to enjoy this as well. So I can't wait to get over to that. Folks, this ends the weekly update. It's an abbreviated one because so many of our regulars are enjoying the holidays. Let's get into the hot topic segment for this week. Again, we are excited to have joining us Alec Hansen, who is Senior Vice President of Loan Production for Pacific Southwest Division of Loan Depot. We're going to be talking about engaging the consumer, the customers, which is the consumers typically. But it could, for those of you that are engaging customers, it could be anything. Your realtors, your builders, if you're running a retail shop, if you're a realtor trying to figure out how to interact, this engagement of customers, whoever your customer might be, is going to be so valuable to you. You know, it's really interesting. When Alex started out in his rookie year, his first year, he did $85 million in loans. And in his best year, he did $185 million. And we're going to hear about how he did it. Alec Hansen, welcome to the Lincoln & Lending Podcast.
Happy Memorial Day. Thank you for having me. This is super fun.
Oh, man. After watching your video, you're like the brother from another mother. You know, who you really remind me of is Phil Treadwell. I mean, you and Phil got to be almost like twin brothers.
I love that guy. That guy's the man.
Yeah, he is the dude, man. He is really good. And I saw some of the material. I can't remember what it was. I think it was the Housing Wire. You were doing something on Housing Wire. Was announced, and I went to it, and I go, video. I'm always looking for information on video. I believe in video. I have for years. And then I start watching, and I go on, I have got to connect with this dude. So thank you for accepting my connection request and now coming live, taking time out of your Memorial Day holiday to be here with us. So let's get into it. So here's the big question. Why video content matters today? Give us your thoughts, why this is so important today.
You know, it's crazy. And I'm not some futurist, you know, I'm a practitioner who's noticing trends. And it's so obvious to me now, and I think it's obvious to all of us now when we pause, that we've become an internet first, you know, society, meaning we check online as opposed to checking with a local pro. We don't go to the hardware store anymore and ask what parts we need. We go to YouTube and we start watching videos and Googling things. That transformation of our society is having radical, you know, down the line effects for local professionals who sell or provide a service. And so I've just been watching it happen since, you know, because in 2003, when I started originating loans at 23 years old, driving around in my Civic, I had a Nokia brick phone and I had MapQuest printouts next to me.
Oh yeah.
You know, so I'm one step above, you know, the old Thomas guy.
I love that Thomas guy when we had that. That was great. That was so funny you brought that up. That's a blast for the past. Yeah.
Well, it's ironic because in that world, if you wanted to know what homes were for sale, you had to wait for the newspaper on the weekend, or you had to go talk to a human, a local pro, a realtor, a real estate professional. That was, you know, not even 20 years ago. And you fast forward today, if you want to know what's for sale in real estate, you just pull your phone up.
Yeah.
And everything's there at your fingertips. And so it was a clear trend, and we're just living in that place now.
Yeah, that is so good. You know, when you say you bring up the Nokia phone, I love what the CEO that unfortunately had the dubious honor of being the president of Nokia when it failed. And he said, "We didn't do anything wrong, but somehow we lost." And there's such a powerful message in that. And, yeah, we didn't do anything wrong. In other words, we were doing everything we were taught to do. We did everything right. We did everything that all the best practices and key tactics that everyone's done forever. In fact, we were doing better than anyone else. And guess who invented the touchscreen phone? Nokia. But who executed on that and destroyed Nokia? It was Apple.
Well, Blockbuster started streaming movies.
Yeah.
Blockbuster started streaming movies.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the best sentence ever. They didn't do anything, which is the correct way to frame how they lost.
They did do anything wrong, but they didn't do anything to innovate either. And
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And that's what I want to get. So let's talk about video best practices and key tactics. Andy, jump in. Yeah, please.
Sorry, guys. Since it's just us, I thought I would jump in. Because that point about Blockbuster is an important point about the perspective of sunk cost. Because Blockbuster had all this hardware, all this real estate, all these facilities. And so streaming with cassettes. And then they had to switch to DVD and then mailing, like, to compete with Netflix and then ultimately the streaming. But it meant they had to significantly abandon an investment that had been made. And sometimes we have to do that in mortgage lending as well. We have to change our investment in, you know, retail to have this really direct. So you guys might want to expand on that.
That's really good. Yeah, we could go so many different directions. I used to live in Southern California. Not only did I have the Thomas Guide, but I had the Thomas Guide Southern California map in my garage in my office for the longest time, the big one of all Southern California, and it was such a cool system, and you know they had so much invested, but why didn't they do it? So that Andy brings up a great point: is a lot of it has to do with technology, timing, and all of that. But we now have the technology, we have the bandwidth, so let's get into chatting on best practice and key tactics. Love it.
Yeah, I mean, look, Andy makes a great point. We're in a battle, if you will, for consumer attention. And so, you know, if the question is, where is somebody going to get their mortgage, or where is someone going to go buy their house from, or who are they going to get financial advice from, we're in a battle for human attention. And right now, the video as a medium to build influence, to build attention, to build brand is becoming, you know, self-evident and crucial in order to step into that place and have that opportunity with any customer. Because when you think about video, you know, number one, COVID has exposed all of us. We're just sitting at home staring at our phones and our computer screens all day.
That's right.
It's just unfortunately.
Well, more so, we're here in Texas. You need to move to Texas because we're actually out. And we're returning. You're stuck in that, you know, that state where your governor and some of your officials out there kind of got you locked down a little absurdly out longer. But so anyway, sorry about that. We didn't mean to bring up that
pain. I feel you on that.
But you bring up a good point.
So
whether you're locked down or not, we're all looking at it, whether we're out and about or we're locked down. So we're looking at the devices. That's true. Absolutely.
Well, yeah. I mean, I just have to challenge anybody to hold up their screen time app and show me how much screen time they're up per day.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people are hitting 6, 7, 8, 10 hours a day on their phone or during the screen time. And that trend is not going the other direction. That trend is going deeper. And by the way, we might not like that as a society or as an individual, but it's still what's happening.
Yeah, it's reality. It like you said, it is the reality, and which really gets into you. How do you grab their attention? It's engagement. You were talking about that at the beginning, what you really have learned how to do so effectively. So let's talk about some of the key tactics that you have found that work, and then also this is a great place to put in a plug for your book. You got a new book. It's called Bypassed. It's a great opportunity for us to talk about it right now. And on your home website, on your primary website, which is Alec Hansen, A-L-E-C, Hansen, H-O-N, for you Norwegian Swedes that don't know how to spell Hansen.
That's right.
It's H-A-N-S-O-N.
That's right.
The difference between you can tell between a Norwegian and a Swede. Norwegians are S-O-N, Swedes are S-E-N. Sorry, that's a little bit less than I'm 100% Norwegian, so I'm biased to the S-O-N. All right,
Oh my God. So you'll love this, David. David, my grandfather, we're major Norwegian immigrants. My grandfather was a POW for 3 years, by the way. So I want to give a shout out to all the people who have, you know, fought for us on this Memorial Day and lost their lives. But he told me once when he was older, 1,000 Swedes ran through the weeds chased by one Norwegian. And that's when I knew where he came from.
Yeah, that's where you know. Yeah. Yeah. You know what they call a mixed marriage is what we joke about this in Minnesota where I grew up. They go, a mixed marriage is a Swede and a Norwegian when they get married. So anyway, we could go on and on. So anyway.
But here's the deal. Jumping back in, Dave. Here's the deal.
Sorry about that, listeners. That
of
was
all the
just
mediums
a
out there.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Norwegians get going. Yeah. Well, of all the mediums out there, video creates the highest level of impact. You see somebody's eyes. You see their body language. You hear their tone. You make a connection with them as long as they're not overproducing the content and turning themselves into a commercial, which is not
right.
we're biased against. We've been over marketed to as a society. We don't like that anymore. You know, and that's why things like Instagram stories, which show these kind of behind the scenes, real reality shows type feel are what's so popular because we want humanity. And so video gives us a chance to show off our humanity, humanize our brand and show up with empathy and authority and make an impact in somebody's life. And that's why the other mediums of, you know, the written word, voice, all that stuff is almost taking a backseat to video in the sense that video allows that connection. Now, there's tons of audio consumed. For example, you know, I have a podcast. That podcast is primarily consumed via audio. They put on, they open it up, they put it on a different screen, and they do their work. But to your point, like, you've watched some of my content and some of my videos,
good.
And you know me.
Yeah. Yeah. I recognize you when I go to the club. Never met a chance to shake your hand. I'll bump elbows if we're doing totally COVID stuff, or a bump fist. But no, I haven't. But I know you. And I feel like I've gotten to know you so well through that. But yet you wrote a book. And so books are not going away. And I think it's a great reference tool. So I think it's a combination. And how are you doing that? What is your perspective? This is a little side journey. It doesn't mean everyone has to go write a book to be successful in this business. But when you do have a message, so what was the motivation for writing the book?
You know, I started writing it in 2018, which I saw two trends happening. We talked about one, which is the internet first world. And I saw that happening. And I saw a bunch of, I was raised as a local professional mortgage guy. I was told to go out on Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays and bring back 8 business cards from real estate agents.
Yep.
You know, I was told to go belly to belly and make human relationships and build rapport and become a referral partner, a trusted advisor. And so I love that's what I teach. That's how I coached. That's how I ran my offices. And then I started to realize, wait a minute, the bulk of my business was coming from these great real estate professionals who were the top of the cycle where all the process started, and they're not the top of the cycle anymore. The internet is.
Right.
And so I realized that what was happening was the local professional was going to be bypassed by the consumer who was just going a different path because it was more convenient for them. And so the second thing that we don't need to dive into on this one because it doesn't pertain to video per se, but, you know, the full digitization of the mortgage process is coming. meaning in a year to 2 years max, a customer is going to be clear to close at time of application.
Yep.
They're going to send
that
in their documents,
so
or they're going to get digitally validated, and they're going to be clear to close. And that's happening. That's going to happen. Technology is finally going to land the ship in the mortgage space.
Yep.
And so those two trends create this unbelievable vulnerability for the local professional, because now they're down the sales cycle. Now the process is clearer and easier, and the customer is going to go down that path, and they're going to get skipped over. And so the reality was, I go, we got to fix this. And we have the opportunity to fix it, because a lot of these local pros, in my opinion, are some of the best possible consultants to actually talk to in deciding what loan to get. They have massive years of experience.
Yes. And it's getting it to where they should be. It's getting them out of this, the stuff they're not good at, and getting them, landing them square in the middle of where they are good at, which is the relationships, the consulting side. Like you point out in that video, we could go on and on. I agree. I don't want to get too deep into this right away, but just tell your listeners, go to alechanson.com. Listen to the video that he has on there. He has a bold print. Local professionals are being bypassed, the name of a book, his book, because the consumer is operating differently during the home financing process, actually during everything. And the way to get to know you is really through video. You got a thought, and then I want to just dive full on into video.
Yeah, here's the crazy part, and the greatest opportunity is that we have every single – a local professional, you, me, everybody, have access to this unbelievable place where we can earn influence and opportunity called social media and the internet. I mean, that's where everybody is. And so if you show up there with a message, if you show up there consistently, if you put effort and intentionality into your marketing / content creation, you can have the exact same marketing opportunity that a Super Bowl commercial has, except you can be there all year long.
Yep, that's so
good. And it's a different skill set. Cultivating that digital relationship is a different skill set, but it puts you at the same even playing field. Like, you don't need to spend $10 million to go to the Super Bowl. You can show up every day in front of the people in your digital community, as long as you build that community, as long as you're intentional. You know, I joke with some of my mortgage professionals, because I'm like, how many of your past customers are in your social media, you know, in sphere of influence? And they're like, none of them. And I'm like, how? How have you let that happen? Start inviting them now. This is where we're all going into these digital communities. And COVID has put gasoline on this.
I know.
I mean, it's
so
like
true.
Every – well, it's just – it was – because here's what's crazy. You know, I wrote the book in 2018. I started writing it in 2018 because I lived through the mortgage crisis of 2007, 2008. And I'm very aware that we all had to change how we did business, or we went out of business. And tons of companies did go out of business. But there was a catalyst point. Today, in 2018, when I was writing the book, there was no catalyst point, and now all of a sudden Corona shows up. And this is the catalyst point. You can't go meet realtors at open houses. You can't have a face-to-face consultation with your customers, because some of them don't want to. And all of a sudden, it's forcing everybody into the digital ecosystem.
Well, one of the things that Dave and I talked about earlier was the quality of the video presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And just as a side note, Dave has a studio in his office with multicolored lights and teleprompter, and so, you know, circle camera thing, so it looks like a high-end production. That's great. One thing I've noticed is through COVID and everybody being on webcams, is how bad, if not even atrocious, some of the videos are. So, well, what's your thought about how good is good enough when it comes to throwing up a video?
Oh, I have so many thoughts. Thank you for this question, because I hope it helps some people. Think of it this way. If you're going to go meet a big realtor or a big business partner for your first meeting, and you're going to be pitching your services, or you're meeting with a big customer, do you show up in a suit in a professional environment, or do you show up in sweatpants? You know, you're going to put your best foot forward.
Exactly.
Right? But that doesn't mean you show up in your own private helicopter, you know, flown in and skydiving in with a bunch of singing girls behind you. Right? So, there's the difference.
Yeah, that's so good. That's the word picture is so funny.
Right? Like, so we don't know yet as a society that, like, I need to have the proper camera angle. I need to have the right lighting. I need to invest in the right sound equipment. That's like buying a suit. We're just not there yet. We don't understand how to show up yet the right way.
Well,
but
like,
people
like,
who are having the dancing girls behind them, and I'm like, you're killing, you're
overproduction.
Not doing it right. You're not doing it right.
Yeah. Yeah, totally the overproduction. That's so good. You know, or how many people walk in? I mean, how many people shoot? I mean, here's a little bit of an analogy for you. How many people shoot a video with a camera way too low, and we're looking at their double chin or up their nose, and like you're clipping your nose here. So how many people would walk out a realtor with your nose up in the air, and you're talking to the person like you're looking down at them? It's the same principle. You talk to someone eyeball to eyeball, get the doggone camera at the right angle. It seems so evident. And how many people would stand in front of a bright window and you're doing a presentation so they couldn't see you if you're doing a live presentation?
Exactly.
Get the light on your face so people can see you, which is just seems so basic, but it's amazing. Just, Alec, how many people miss the basics? So we're going to kind of skip over the basic stuff, but Andy raises a great, great point. I want to talk about how you were talking about the helicopter being dropped in with the dancing girls. It's the overproduction. It's the Wait, where is the uber production, but where is the minimum? There has got to be – I mean, we're talking about camera angles. We're looking at having appropriate lighting like Andy is. I kind of went – a little over the top in here because I'm producing so much.
Sorry, Dave. You minimized yourself. It's not that big of it. It's not that over the top, and it creates an amazing video. I think that you can hear yourself clearly. You're properly lit. The background is clean. You underestimate. You always self-deprecation thing, but it's not true. It's perfect.
You don't have to be perfect. It's what I guess. And thank you, Andy. I do appreciate that. I strive for excellence in everything I do, so I'm always going for that. But I think don't let excellence get in the way of getting out and getting known. That's where I want to go with this, Alex, is where do you find that place of being known, but known in a quality way, but where's, all gets around best practices, I guess, and overproducing or overshooting it and... Anyway, talk about that.
Yeah,
what
there's two angles here. There's two angles here. The first angle is people want to focus on production because they're scared. And so they're using that as a way to procrastinate and not go on video. And so, that is clearly a thing. Camera fear, whatever you want to call it, is really a thing, which is crazy because I know people that would meet face-to-face all day long and then put them on a camera and they freeze and turn into a robot. But that's just going to be that's just going to be a new skill that everyone's going to step into and learn, and some are going to learn faster, etc. But I always think of it like this. If you are showing up as your authentic self, you can't go wrong. If you look at your production and you go, this isn't me, then you've missed it. But if you look at it and go, yeah, this is me, then you're winning. You're killing it. And that can be a little bit of a self-awareness challenge. But, you can't – like I do a lot of graphics now. I have some backgrounds. I have my podcast in my podcast studio. But that's me. I'm enjoying it.
Right.
And so I'm happy with that. Other people, you have to know what's authentic to you.
That's good. Yeah, find your authentic self, and that's what comes through. And people pick up on that. It is not about the backdrop, the green screen effect. I mean, you can use all those things if you really want to be there and go for the extra punch, but don't get caught up in that and miss the communication. Let's talk about preparing a message. When you're preparing a video, your videos are so well done. How much time do you prepare? I heard one person said for every 1 minute of video, I'm doing 10 minutes of preparation. In other words, 10 minutes, I wish I could get by on that little. I do an hour. And I go on, seems like over. What's your thoughts on preparation?
Well, I encourage people that I don't think scripting and reading from a teleprompter works anymore. I think it becomes too robotic. I think you need to have a series of talking points. They need to be on your screen or on a sticky note so you can stay on topic. But you need to just roll through it in your own voice. And the best way to get better at this is to do it a bunch, which is, of course, what no one wants to do. But, people forget that I did a personal challenge of 100 videos in 100 days. And I got a lot better and more comfortable on camera doing 100 videos in 100 days. Years ago, when I was just being a goof, I did a quasi-internet show called Drive Time with Alec. It's still on YouTube.
Oh, good.
And I would film myself driving to work, talking about whatever came into my head that morning. And David, I did 270 of those things.
That's interesting.
So I got more comfortable. I got more comfortable. I've got repetitions under my belt. And now I'm a little more confident when I get on front of a video. So you can't diminish the role of practice.
So in that moment you were talking totally extemporaneous. I mean, it was really just, it was stream of thought. and it was getting some effectiveness.
You got it.
It's stream of consciousness. Are you seeing that still working, or is there? Are we seeing the bar being moved? The bar is definitely being moved up. For example, no nose hair.
Yes.
We just want to see, get a good angle. I mean, the bar is moving up. Delighting. Yeah, that's a. But what about the matter preparation? Carl from Marketing Animals did the redneck version of a teleprompter, which cracked me up. It was years ago I saw this video, and he was holding cards up, put post-its all around. So there's so many ways you can put, and I believe having reminders of bullet points, talking points, that's what I'm now using my teleprompter. I just put up talking points so I remember what I want to cover.
Yeah.
And unless it's highly detailed, then I'll literally turn on the teleprompter and gather the information out. But it's not, to Andy's point, it's not quite as, or your point, it's not quite as, it doesn't come across as authentic as when it's just coming really right out of my heart and out of my mouth. So talk about that.
Well, I think we judge ourselves so too harshly. As a society, as people, I think we judge ourselves too harshly. And I think that we think more of ourselves and our content than other people think. I have to remind people, you are not the center of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
You are for yourself. But for everybody who's watching your video, they are the center of their universe. You're just an extra in their movie. And
great.
So I know you're freaking out that you want to be, you know, show up this amazing way and not make a mistake and not say anything inappropriate or not use too many ums. But you have to remember, like, you're a glancing byproduct of their life. Like, you're flowing past them in the stream of information. And so we have to get over ourselves a little bit and just realize that it's okay and that we're going to screw up. But we need to step into the ring. Here's my biggest encouragement, you know, on what to say or how to say or post-produced or produced or whatever. Just pay attention to what people are, how people are responding.
Okay, so let's stop right there, because how people are responding, that's really, so you're doing a video. There's nobody to respond. So what do you mean when you say responding?
Great comment.
Yeah,
it's when you put it out in the universe.
Yeah, exactly. I knew where you were going. I just wanted to drive home that point. Yeah,
absolutely. When you put it out in the universe, what happens? You know, like, I used to have so many wrong assumptions. You know, I used to coach that, or I had this thing of, like, no one cares about, you know, debt to income ratio. Stop making videos about DTI or PITI. You're confusing the customer. Talk about why you're in the business. Kind of that Simon Sinek, like, why are you here?
Yes,
right?
Love.
Not what you do, why are
your
you
why.
Doing?
Yep.
And then I was on this panel at Todd Duncan's event, and this gal sat down next to me. And she has over 15,000 views on a YouTube video where all she does is explain an LE. And I was, and she gets about a loan a week from it. And I was like, well, clearly I'm an idiot, because apparently that is what people want to see. Like, that is what they want to see. They do want like actual, like, what is an LE? Because apparently our loan officers aren't telling anybody. So I just realized the real answer is pay attention to what people, how people are responding. And that can help direct you. Don't get sad if no one comments. Try to understand, why did nobody comment? Was it not good? You know, what was the issue? And learn and grow. That's the whole point. But that was, excellent clarification there, David. Thank you.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the most important part, you're doing a video, you're not going to get instant feedback. You can't invite family and friends, but I had my daughters helping me. I never got anything flattering. They go, Dad, that was terrible. You need to do that again. And it was just like, excellence, you know, perfection can get in the way of delivery. And I think the most important part is start doing it. I love the fact that you challenge people to do 100 videos in 100 days. That is an amazing challenge.
Oh, God, no. After I did that personally, I am not challenging anybody to do that at all. Just do 10 in 10 days.
Do 10 in 10 days. There you go.
I way over. I'm never doing that again. Like, that's never happening again.
Andy Schell is one of the smartest guys out there. He is just so brilliant. And I'm encouraging him to do videos and get out there. So if you're coaching an Andy Schell, go ahead. How would you draw that out of him?
Well, it has to do with what legacy you want to leave behind. And I mean that honestly and sincerely. You know, unfortunately, we have this amazing opportunity to create content that lives on in perpetuity on these social platforms. And it's like, you know, somebody like Andy, who's got all this information, all this knowledge, all this experience, now he has a megaphone. If he just picks it up and just starts delivering into it and communicating his message out to everybody, the audience is there. They want to hear from people like Andy. They want to know what's going on. And it's our opportunity to lean into it and not be afraid.
Good.
You know, I coached a really great guy who's super experienced, and he's like, I can't get on video. I don't like how I look. And I just said, I mean, do you hang out with humans? Do you go to parties? Like, do you have a stunt double that shows up for you?
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking
so
about?
Funny.
Like,
yeah.
You're judging yourself so harshly. The world doesn't see you like that.
So good. That's so good. Actually, Andy is stepping on doing videos. Andy Schell, you want to jump in here? Because I want to go live and go into different platforms. I want to talk about that. Andy Schell, do you want to have anything in there?
Yeah, so I'm a drummer. I'm a musician. I play drums. I'm used to being in the back of the band. So I'm the foundation, but I'm not the face. And so in real life, I'm a CPA and also a PhD. So I help people figure out really complicated things. And when I'm with Dave, I'm incredibly fluid. But I'm not always incredibly fluid. A lot of times, but not always. I'm not. I recognize Dave's brilliance and his ability to have the silk tongue and say words that are just amazing. And they just come out of his head without even a second thought. And I do that maybe one every 10 times. So what I have learned to do is when I do the videos is I just keep talking. And then I do have to go back and edit because it's never going to be one and done with me because I have to say it four different times. And then finally it'll be the relaxed, the flowing, the emotion, because the content's the easy part. It's the emotional connection with the content that's harder for me. And so even though I'm very emotional, and Dave can attest to that in a lot of ways, but it's just taking me a longer time of saying it for it to come out. So that's how I do it. I just do lots and lots of takes.
You know, if you've ever taken a personality profile test or any of those systems, we realize that there's a diversity of humans amongst us. And that diversity is what makes us powerful as a species, but it also gives everybody their unique audience in the world. Not everybody gives a damn about me or about David because of how we speak and show up. Some people are actually turned off by it, or they don't hear us the right way, or they think we're just, you know, talking heads or noise or white noise. And so I just say every single person has a unique audience that connects to how they deliver content, that connects to how they speak and how they think, and goes, that person's just like me. And those are the people that want you or anybody to step into the spotlight and claim that audience because they're waiting. And they're not getting it from the current group of people or talking people out there. And I think that's true. I think that's right. I think there's a unique audience for every human being out there based on how you think and how you deliver your message and the process you go through before you talk. All that stuff matters. And so I have a personal view on that everyone has a unique audience if they're willing to show up for them.
Well,
so
that is
good.
An amazing insight, Alex, and that what's funny to me about that is that's almost exactly what Dave told me on Saturday.
Our barbecue. I refer to it as frequency. I think we all speak in a frequency, and I think some people are dialed into hearing certain frequencies better than others. That's why I get your message out there. It doesn't have to be perfect. You find your community by finding your frequency or your message, and it works. I want to get into the difference between live and pre-recorded. We're seeing a lot of Facebook Live, now YouTube Live. Talk to us. What are the advantages of going live? We do this podcast live, and then we downloaded it, edited it, and we put it back up with taking out some of the things that we wish probably could have been, that don't add to the thing. We don't overproduce it, but we try to get it. So we're doing kind of both, but talk about live versus your produced videos.
I think both have a tremendous place in society today. I think that live streaming / live casting, this live experience, the world is ready for. I mean, the amount of reach and exposure you can get from live, because people know Alec could screw up right now. He could say something dumb. Something could happen. And I want to be a part of that is unprecedented opportunity. And so for the people that are willing to get really uncomfortable and be live where it's risking it all, they're going to have massive voice opportunity right now. But then I say that and I go, but you cannot forget to continue to post-produce and deliver it back because not everybody, it's Memorial Day. People are already drunk. Like, it's all good. Like,
that's all right.
You know, so like they're not listening to us live, but they're going to want to come back in through the message and they're going to want to hear it later because they're part of your community, David. So both have a tremendous place. And I think live is going to start outdistancing it because with live, you get both.
You do.
I
agree.
You get the vulnerable place. And then you get the post-produced, you know, recording where someone can, and I missed it, but I wanted to hear this, and they can tune in. Or someone's listening right now and then they had an emergency and their kid fell down and they have to turn it off, but they want to come back.
Yeah.
So I think live is going to be a mandatory. I think live is going to be where it is.
Yeah, I'm so excited about we're turning this podcast into both video and audio, and it's going to be live. We've always been done live, and we're going to be going into video live, so it'll be really interesting. Let's talk a little bit about different platforms, YouTube, Facebook,
yeah.
LinkedIn, Insta. As my daughters say, it's not Instagram, Dad. You got to be cool. It's Insta. So let's talk about all these. Yeah.
Well, I have a viewpoint on this, and I call it consumable content versus library content. You know, and the way I kind of frame this is your library content is going to exist in perpetuity on YouTube. YouTube is the library where your books are, where your videos are, your history is. You know, on the social platforms, that's where the consumable content is, the sound bites, you know, the graphics, the quotes. You know, even when I put the podcast up on and we go live on Facebook, you know, at some point that's going to scroll through and no one's going to see that anymore. If they're going to
right.
want to access the podcast, they're going to have to go to Apple Podcasts or they're going to have to go to my YouTube channel, which is the library of my content.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of challenge people and I go, look, are you creating a piece of library content or are you creating a piece of consumable content? And that can help frame up, you know, how much effort you put into it, right? I mean, if it's consumable, it's gone in 30 seconds, that's a tweet. Just
yep.
send it. But if you're going
to
make
it, it can be linked to your library. So, I mean, that's what we're doing right
Great
now.
Comment.
Paul King, who's the producer of this, I mean, so much. The excellence we're doing is because of what Paul's doing so much in our podcast. And what he does, he goes out following the Gary Vaynerchuk practice, posts five times
yep.
a day, 6 days a week. 7 days a week, we take one day a week off, but we post like crazy, and we put little snippets in there, and we link back to the podcast. So he'll pull something
yep.
out of you've said here, put it in there. It's a click, listen, and then they go, oh, I really got to catch that podcast to make a note of it, and it draws them to the library. So I think there's a place for both. Talk, give your thoughts on
absolutely.
That real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my biggest encouragement for people is when you're putting content out as consumable content or snippets, and you're driving them back to your long form content or your library content, that's all part of your strategy. And that's exactly what you should be doing. But you also have to give respect to the platform you're on. And people miss this. Facebook doesn't want you to send people away from Facebook.
Right.
I mean, that makes basic sense. There's ads there
yep.
for Facebook. They don't want you putting a link to your YouTube channel because now you're leaving Facebook.
Right.
So, you know, that's where when you want to talk about videos or snippets and uploading it, respect the platform. Upload natively to the platform, directly to it. Yes, that might mean you have to upload a video three different places, you know, but at the same time, you're giving respect to the platform and you're going to earn some of the little algorithm love and you're going to get a little more, you know, a little more push on your content than if you're just saying, hey, come hang out over here and taking people away from the platform.
Wow. This is so much good stuff, and we just smudged the surface, much less scratched the surface on this thing. And Andy, Shill, before we wrap it up, do you have any closing questions that you want to jump in with?
Well, it's been great. It's been really, really great to hear all of Alex's wisdom and insight about social media and social media presentation, video content presentation. No, I think it's an environment that's here to stay, and proficiency
yeah.
in the environment with our own fingerprint is going to be essential. And knowing where that fingerprint resides is also, I think, going to be essential. It's kind of almost too bad there's only the dominant sites. We almost need more places to go to put stuff, and besides LinkedIn, Facebook, Insta.
And I think more.
Yeah, I mean, I always say this. You just got to play where the people are.
Yeah, that's
I had somebody surprise me the other day, and they went, a mortgage professional kind of went what they call TikTok famous on the TikTok platform.
Right.
Where his content blew up. He's got a million followers, and he's just posting mortgage-related, you know, TikTok content. And he blew it up, and I looked at his comments, and he's getting a massive amount of lead opportunity, people making questions and questions and sending him direct messages saying, hey, I need a loan, help me out. The reality is we have to show up where the people are. And that's how we earn our space, and that's how we earn our influence, where the people are. And they're on the big social media platforms today, and they might be on, like, TikTok's new. And you can see that there are already a bunch of people there.
Yep. Yeah, no, Gary Vaynerchuk talked about how TikTok is like Manhattan when they were trading beads for it or whatever it was. I mean, it's just a virgin territory. But it's, again, I mean, like Andy and I, we work B2B. Our community is business owners, and you're going to find them. Our community is found on LinkedIn. And so I use Facebook to some degree. So that, first of all, identify your community. Do you do coaching and teaching on this? Or we've already talked about your book, Bypass. Folks, go get this book. I can't wait for you to get exposure to it. But, I mean, do you do coaching and teaching on this? Talk about what else you do other than being a very successful loan originator.
Yeah, you know, in my job for LoanDepot, I run about, you know, 8 states for the company for our retail platform. And I absolutely spend a lot of my time with my loan officers and managers, you know, leaning into this kind of stuff, helping us figure out what the next place is to play in and coaching in that regard. So, and then of course I'm very active on social media, kind of surrogate coaching, you know, other, any loan officer, anybody in our mortgage industry on what I think is the right path forward. And again, I say that with like the, what I think, you know, I'm just learning this right with everybody else, you know?
Yep.
So I make my own mistakes. I learn, I evolve just along with everybody else. And so that's kind of where I play in the industry.
It's very fluid, and we are all learning together, and it's creating a community of people that are out there ahead, and you are certainly one of the guys out there. I did hear a little hint to recruiting, so if you really want to get into Alec's program, you got to go to work for Alec and one of his companies, one of his – so that's why he's Senior Vice President Southwest Region. I guess your days of direct originations are kind of over, so – but it's so good.
But you know what's wild, David? You know, this is the craziness. You know, I still probably get a loan a week because,
yeah,
you know, I built relationships and I stay present and I stay with my community online and I still get
amazing
people calling me up and asking for questions and loans. So, you know, I don't think you ever really leave if you don't want to.
No, exactly right. And it's such an effective tool. I want our listeners to get over to their website, alechanson.com. But if they do want to talk to you about coming to work for you, how is the best way for them to come to get a hold of you?
Send me a direct message on a social media platform. That way I know you're in the same space.
There you go. That's really good. Send me a message on a direct platform. Otherwise, I'm not interested in having you join me. That's a great statement. That's really good. Yeah,
well,
I love it.
Hey, I didn't say I'm not interested. I just said that's where I want to help you get.
No, that's good. All right. That's good. I didn't mean to add words to your mouth there. Well, I want to say, Alec,
you're
thank
fine,
you so much
dude.
For taking time out of your Memorial holiday away from your family to
my
join
pleasure.
Us on this Memorial Day. I really value the content. I encourage people to get out to the website, alechanson.com. I got to have you back, Alec. There's just some more. I want you in my network, or I want to be your network, or may our networks intertwine here. I'm really pleased. And so we'll get Treadwell. I'll refer to you as a Phil Treadwell lookalike. Of course, you'll say, no, Treadwell looks like me. So Treadwell will be listening to this. We'll get some comments on that.
Phil's much better looking. Yeah, he's much better looking.
No. That's, you know what? The content you both are producing is top-notch, and it's something we all can learn from. I've been around forever doing this, as long as Andy Sheldon. I talked him into doing this over 10 years ago. The power of this is crazy. We had over 100,000 downloads of our podcast last month. It's just absolutely
wow.
Flooring me, the rate at which this is growing. So we got to be here. It's where the customers are. Thank you so much for being here on this special day, Alec Hansen. Great to have you.
My pleasure.
Next week, we've got Justin DeMolia joining us. He's Vice President of Sales with Lenders One. I am so excited to have my good friend Justin come on and Lenders One, which is one of our sponsors. We're so grateful for our relationship with them. As we exit, we want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, Finastra, the Community Mortgage Lenders of America, Indicom, Accelerate, Ainsworth, Mobility RE, MBA. There's so many out there we could go on and on about. Go check out all of our guests. And I did mention Modex. I want to make sure I mention them. Anyway, you check them all out on our advertising page at LickitOnLending.com. Good to have you here with us. Have a great week, and be sure to come back here to hear our interview with Justin DeMolia next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.